Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Climate of Sport Ask Me Anything podcast series. It's a pleasure to be back with you this week to answer another one of the questions that has been sent in by yourselves. Just a quick point of note that we'll be taking a couple of weeks break from the podcast after this week's episode around the Easter period here in Europe. And then we'll be back with more questions on the Ask Me Anything series, and then also some leadership interviews as well. So we look forward to being back after just a short break. A reminder, in that time, please do keep your questions coming in. You can either contact us through the email, which is hello@climateofsport.com, or through social media channels. You can tell us who it's from, or you can ask for yourself to remain anonymous. Either way, we're super happy to take your questions and continue to do so. So the question that we're answering this week, which is a really interesting one again, is what role should technology play in sustainability and sport? This came in via email and the person asked to remain anonymous. And I think, again, it's another really interesting question that we've been sent across the series. And I think it's an interesting one to tackle because we're going to draw on some experts around some of the AI conversations we've been having recently. So we'll hear from that later. So what role should technology play in sustainability and sport? So first of all, I think, as we always do, we'll start at a higher level and then focus in a little bit on sport. So the role of technology, obviously, in our modern world is inescapable. Technology intersects with most things that we now do day to day, and not least when we're looking at environmental sustainability and sport. So technology can help us in so many different ways in terms of being connected, in terms of energy, agriculture, aviation. There's every part of our industrialized world really now is connected to technology. So of course, when we think about the role it's going to play in sustainability and sport, we know that it's crucial, as it is in pretty much every other facet of our lives now. And in the last episode of the pod, we actually answered a question around recycling, and obviously products themselves and the recycling process wouldn't be possible without the technologies that now exist. So in some ways, we've already started thinking about this question. The question is interesting, as I think the inference of the question is the role of technology in regard to relying on it to achieve what we need to do in terms of reducing our impact as a sport industry. And the reason I infer that is because I think the question, what role should technology play in sustainability in sport? The quick answer to that is it should play a big role. But I feel as though there's an inference there because I've been in a number of rooms talking about sustainability to a cross-section of people inside sports organizations. And the question's been asked sort of time and time again when we're doing education and training efforts, but won't technology just fix all of this? Do we really need to do all of this? Surely there's technology solutions that are going to solve these problems for us, and we just have to wait for them. So that is obviously something we can talk about in more depth, and the reason why that isn't the ideal look for some of this stuff. But what I want to do is start us off higher level, a bigger level. If we look at what scientists and experts say is actually going to solve the climate crisis, we can think about what those are, and I'll cover them now. But I would just sidebar, what's not going to solve the climate crisis is what Saudi Aramco's CEO Amin Nasser said at a conference in Houston this week, which was, quote, "We should abandon the fantasy of phasing out oil and gas and instead invest in them adequately reflecting realistic demand assumptions." We know Antonio Guterres has called fossil fuel the poison root of the climate crisis. So in fact, in spite of that statement, I don't think doubling down on fossil fuels is the way forward. And scientists and experts obviously agree. When we think about and hear about what's going to solve the climate crisis, we tend to hear some iteration of the same list: ending our reliance on fossil fuels and removing to renewable energy. Greater energy efficiency and sustainable transportation, sustainable buildings, things like better forestry management and sustainable agriculture and conservation-based solutions, so both on land and in the oceans, and other things like industrial solutions and the reduction of single-use plastic, etc. So we usually hear some iteration of the same list. And I think sport can intersect with all of these. So if we look at ending off reliance on fossil and moving to renewable energy, sports obviously have buildings and ground where they could have renewable energy on site. In some cases, we can obviously move our utility providers to renewable energies. We can think about who we're partnering with to have an impact there. Things like greater energy efficiency, again, within sport venues, stadia, leisure centres, etc. leading with energy efficiency, sport has a role to play there. We mentioned sustainable transportation. Sports can liaise with transport providers and help increase demand for sustainable options and perhaps engage with them more to ensure sustainable options are available depending on where sports are taking place. Things like better forestry management and sustainable agriculture, you might feel as though that's a little bit further away, but actually sport teams have a lot of mascots that sit within nature. So we've seen that through the WWF campaign every year, where sports organisations remove their mascots from their club shields, etc., showing what a world without nature would look like. So again, sport can, even for some of these themes that feel further away, sport can connect the dots and raise awareness. Things like conservation-based solutions, outdoor sports especially, can make an impact there, and obviously reducing plastic and things like that. We are already doing ourselves, and we're encouraging others to do that as well. So sport can play an influential role in tackling and playing a contributing, supporting role to most of the ways in which we can transition to a cleaner, healthier, more sustainable future and tackle climate change. So technology in some form is going to play a role for most of these things, but we come back to the question of the age old, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Because a lot of the technological solutions we actually need to achieve these things are available. They just either aren't at scale, or they are potentially, they could be at scale, but we're not taking them up at a scale needed for them to be viable, because there are different agendas at play. Organizations that don't have a vested interest in this are slowing things down. And this is why we talk about high carbon sports sponsorship and ownership. And that's coming up a lot more now, because the power of sport is being used to keep the status quo in some ways, in some instances of the fossil fuel economy. There's things to think about there. I watched recently a film from Protect Our Winters called Hypocrite. I watched that last night. And one phrase really stuck out to me by Naomi Oreskes, who's the professor of the history of science at Harvard University. And she said in the film, 300 years of industrialization created this problem. It's not your fault we're in the place we are today, but going forward, if you do nothing, it starts to become your fault. I think that's a really interesting perspective on the role we all play within sport, within our own capacity and within our own influence sphere of how we are either making a change or continuing to reinforce the status quo. And that has obviously a particular ilk around technology. So in short, technology plays a vital role in sustainability in sport, but it has to be in lockstep with significant shifts in behaviour change, which we'll also talk about here. So on the tech side, the use of technology to solve the problems we've created is, of course, expected, and it's a crucial part of the puzzle to support sport becoming more sustainable. And applications for sport to become more sustainable around large areas of emissions, we've started to talk about them, but transport, for example, with sustainable fuels, carbon calculators, technology apps, incentives, we're already starting to see this come through and being used by sport and created through sport to tackle some of these areas. And a lot of those are highly focused around technology. Then on the energy side, obviously, a move to renewable energy providers, building management systems, venues, stadia for efficiency, or touring events, or events that are temporary, things like new generators that run on cleaner fuels. Again, we're seeing sport start to adopt behaviours in this area. On the material side, things like sustainable signage, lower impact apparel. Again, sport is helping drive change in those areas. Food. We know food is one of the biggest impacts for food waste, is one of the biggest emitters and one of the biggest areas around food and agriculture that we need to tackle. And we know, again, that sport is adopting technologies like energy, food energy for waste, anaerobic digestion, composting, and making sure as organisations we're playing a role there. And also sort of research to understand impacts as well. World Athletics, for example, and their air quality monitors. We spoke at a recent session about wearables, you know, and the use of technology and wearables for athletes. And again, starting to understand some of the impacts that climate change impacts might have around that. So applications in sport around research as well, very interesting. This week, the Sustainability Huddle hosted a town hall on the role of AI to support sustainability in sport. And that was a town hall meeting with speakers Lee Campelli, Anne Jensen, Kate Strong, Jamie Farndale, Eve Joseph, and myself. And I recommend you listen to that if you're interested. I'll put the link in the show notes. We'll do that so that you can access that very easily as well. It was a really, really interesting discussion. And one of the areas I want to pick out this podcast isn't about AI, but one quote I want to pick out that Jamie Farndale mentioned, which was a really interesting perspective around the use of AI, but I think we could apply it more broadly to technology. So let's hear from Jamie just now.
The three questions I would ask would be, is AI going to help? You know, do we need it? The second one would be, can we use it in a responsible way? Because there's a lot of questions there. But the third one, and the most important one, I think, to sort of take away from all of this is it worth the energy penalty? And to be honest, where we are now, I think the answer in the majority of cases, if not all cases, is no.
This question about the energy penalty, I think, is a really interesting one. Obviously, that is being brought up in the context of AI, and we can look at that also, though, I think more broadly for lots of technologies. So some energy intensive new technologies that are being integrated as we decarbonize are going to be well worth it because the upside is going to be massive and others may not be. So I think what came through for me there that was very interesting is that as a sport organization or an individual working in this space, I know myself from firsthand how many organizations with a new technology with a sustainable slant you are approached by. And I think that question is a really interesting one. If you are looking to adopt a new technology, potentially as a solution to reduce your impact, make sure you question the impact of the technology. Don't see it as a removal of a climate or an environmental impact for nothing because it's happening. You know, how energy intensive is the solution? What's the carbon footprint of the technology solution? So that you can understand exactly how it works and what the benefits are and decide yourself if the upside is there in terms of reducing your carbon emissions or your climate footprint. The last element I want to mention on this before we move on to the coexisting side is the fact is that if we want technology to help us, it's crucial that technology is adopted, embraced and used effectively. Because again, this comes back to the chicken and the egg. You can have all the technology in the world, but if it's not adopted and if it's not taken up and embraced through people, it doesn't matter how good the sustainable technology is, it's not going to have the impacts you want to see, which brings us on to obviously the second yin and yang of this situation, which is that we have to ensure behavior change. We have to prioritize evolving the way we do things, and we have to update our idea of what is normal when it comes to this. So for true decarbonization to happen, we need to focus on both behavior change and also system change. So yes, technology is going to come in on the systems change side, but we need that behavior change piece as well. And vice versa, we can change lots and lots of behaviors and we can do as much as we possibly can on that side. But if we only have existing technology and we aren't incorporating new clean technologies or technologies that reduce our impact, the behavior change will only take us so far in terms of incremental change. So that's why the systems change and the behavior change have to be an absolute lockstep. We need to get past this. Technology is going to save us, or we have to change. It's not an either or. We have to have a continued, more nuanced debate and discussion about how these two different elements are inextricably and unavoidably linked. I've been in rooms, as I mentioned, where we're talking about sustainability to a cross section of people inside sport organizations. And when people say, won't technology fix all of this? There's no silly questions. It's a great question because some people, again, who aren't working in sustainability full time and they're not seeing all the different minutiae, all the different changing landscapes globally and what's happening and how things are evolving. For someone who isn't an expert in the space or highly aware of what's happening, depending on what information you're absorbing, you could very quickly move to the fact that technology is going to save this. So we can continue business as usual because we've got all of these things that we're doing now that are going to save us and we can just carry on doing what we're doing and technology is going to fix it. We know it has a role to play. And this is definitely, we're not coming from a Luddite perspective of saying technology is a really core part of what systems change looks like. But we have to also make sure that we're not putting all our eggs in this basket, continuing business as usual and hoping that someone comes up with a brilliant idea that's rolled out at scale and fixes everything. We just can't expect that to happen. If we look at energy supply, for example, so on the decarbonization side, without it, any small changes on the demand side are only going to have a limited impact on our collective carbon footprint. So conversely, is there a realistic decarbonisation pathway that can cope with our growing populations and our growing demand for consumption? We need that scale of change, and we need both the decarbonisation pathways, and we also need the behaviour change and the changes on the supply and demand side to make this happen. We need significant shifts in the lifestyles of a considerable global minority to achieve global emissions. Talk about a global minority. We know from research papers that we don't need everyone in society to make these changes. We need a passionate minority that are going to basically start the ripple effect that will drive this change. So this includes not only the extremes, you know, who account, we know, for a huge portion of global emissions. I believe statistics are like the richest 1% of the population uses, I don't know, 170 or 175 times more carbon than someone in the bottom 10%, which makes sense in terms of lifestyle. But also we need a large majority of those who live in the richer, more high emitting countries. So again, if you are listening in one of those countries, we need to be taking this action more seriously. Coming back to sport, sport can have a huge influence on this behaviour change, but we're absolutely nowhere near using that influence to its potential yet. We know we are moving much quicker than we ever have before, but we're still not capitalising on the reach and the where sport fits in people's hearts and minds to leverage them to encourage behaviour change. The fear of hypocrisy, getting our houses in order, pervades, and that's not to say that that's wrong. It's a natural fear. We do want to lead from the front. We'd want to be able to say that from an organizational level that we are playing our part, etc. But we come back to the conversation that actually sport reducing its emissions to net zero, and even if you go beyond that and somehow you make it so your individual sport organization has no impact on the planet at all, it's not going to have an impact on the climate crisis. But if you engage your participants, your fans, your sponsors, your stakeholders, your brands, your suppliers, your ecosystem around these issues and encourage behavior change, that is going to have a much bigger impact. So we always come back to that in terms of behavior change. So we need to keep chipping away, progressing, disrupting, cajoling, speaking to people about these topics in a language they understand, in terms of whether it's led by fandom or or business or community or altruism. We need to connect with people where they are in a way that resonates with them to make different decisions. So coming back to the question, what role should technology play in sustainability in sport? It has, it does, it will play a crucial role. But please keep asking the questions. Don't see technology as a silver bullet, but as a really important part of the puzzle that can be fantastic as long as it's in lockstep with behavior change. That's all from us this week. We're going to have a break for a couple of weeks, so please keep your questions coming in. It's great to share some thoughts and ideas with this. I look forward to your responses in social media and in our chat as well. And I look forward to seeing you in a few weeks' time on the Climate of Sport Ask Me Anything podcast. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Climate of Sport Ask Me Anything. Don't forget, you could submit your question, any question at all, about sport and sustainability through our email address, which is hello@climateofsport.com. You can also submit your question through our website, www.sportpositive.org/podcast, or DM us on our social media pages, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter or X. If you don't wish us to read out your name, please just write the word anonymous at the top of your message. If you enjoyed this week's episode and you'd like to get it every week, click follow on the podcast to get it directly into your playlist. And please do share, give a review, and comment on the social media coverage of this episode. It helps us share the message further. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.